Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
You don't have to do that. It is right here. It is right now.
Modern love so strange. Said you now know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Doing great. Got my gear on, ready to roll. Right when I leave you.
I see
you. Yep. Fresh and clean. You know it.
I see you.
How you doing?
Doing terrific, man. I can smell the weekend.
I can smell it from here. What you got?
That feels good.
What you got?
This weekend? My wife's parents are coming into town on Saturday.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
You didn't sound very convincing there. You're like, it's a good thing.
I get along. I don't have a big, huge family. I shouldn't even say that. I have a decent-sized family. But I get along with her parents as well as if not better than my own family. They just kind of let me rock.
That's perfect.
That is perfect.
That's perfect.
I don't hear about stuff. Why do you do this? Why do you have this habit? You should not do that.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, come on in, folks.
Yes. That's perfect.
We
start hanging. Perfect. Yeah, that's a good way to roll if you are an in-law.
That's right. That's right.
Don't come into town trying to, disrupt what I do.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't challenge
flags. I'm going to do me.
Keep the challenge flags in your pocket.
That's right. I want to sip on one late at night. I'm going to sip on one late at night.
Okay? Or early at night.
That's right. Just let me be me.
Oh, my
Don't mess
gosh.
Up my routine. And he might be in a little bit of a bad mood. The Mets just tailspin. I'm a big Mets fan, right?
Yes.
Huge Mets fan.
Yes, yes. My father-in-law, big Mets fan. And if you had heard me say this in the past, when his daughter, my wife, was born, he literally named her Ashley Shea after Shea Stadium. Like that, just, yes, that level of fandom.
Right. And they have taken a turn for the worse here in the last month, 2 months.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Mets have been off the radar. Good to know for some fodder.
Right. They're on my radar because I got a season-long under.
Oh, I
and
see.
And it's already hit.
And you got the Rockies over.
Yeah, and that hit.
By the way.
Ching, ching.
What are the Rockies thinking? Like, what are you doing here? When you go on the road, you are supposed to lose, Road Rockies. That's why we call you Road Rockies. That's why you're different from the home Rockies. You had the largest win differential in the history of pro sports. If you're going to be bad, let's be historic.
So why are you upset?
Because they're 5-1 on this road trip, acting a fool.
Well, what did you have last night?
Not the Rockies. Waiting for the roof to fall in.
I mean, seriously, 5-1? I mean, they're rolling.
Against some pretty good teams.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves, they're first in their division, I believe.
Like, squarely in the playoff picture. And the Phillies before that are right behind the Braves. And second there in the NL East.
So, the Rockies are just they've been a fun team this year.
They've been a fun team.
Stuff that they've dealt with. Of course, Nolan's going to screw me. He's going to hit the over on his home run total.
You've been rooting against Nolan wire to wire. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I took the under on that. I mean, you kidding me? I went under, and he just needs one more. So he's gonna hit that one, unfortunately. Unfortunately, but I hope their team collapses.
they started to pick it up here as of late. I think at one point they were kind of on the Rockies road,
Yes.
And
they'll collapse. So watch. Just watch.
The Rockies are only 10 games from being 500. I mean, their over has cleared already. I mean, a few days ago.
Right.
Like, with ease, with plenty of time left. This was supposed to be,
historically, 100-loss season. Will they lose 100?
Not even close.
Nah.
Not even close.
It was fun. They played well this year.
They did.
They exceeded expectations, I think, from everybody. And they got some guys that you can look to and you can say, okay, I'm excited about this guy's future. I'm excited about that guy's future.
Are the Rockies playing right now?
Yeah. It's delayed.
Okay, perfect. So we'll see. We'll see how they end in Atlanta. I mean, if they're going
in. And they got Marquez, I believe.
Okay. Marquez has not been great post All-Star break. Pre-All-Star break, lights out, could have been a starter. Post-All-Star break, you know, it's a box of chocolates with Herman Marquez. So we'll see, a little rain delay right now, but an opportunity to sweep Atlanta in Atlanta.
Love it.
We'll see how it all shakes out. And then for the rest of the weekend, the Rockies are playing the Nationals. And then they'll come home on Tuesday this coming weekend and play the Dodgers. And I will be at one of those games with my father-in-law. So
there we go.
All right, Vic Fangio at the podium. Let's hear from the head coach.
I was being facetious. Don't get me in trouble.
Injuries real quick.
Yeah, it's going to be exactly the same as yesterday. Graham won't practice. Shamar, Bradley, and Shelby will be limited. And Noah's good to go.
How did Bradley come out of yesterday? What did he do yesterday?
He came out good. I'd say he got about somewhere between 12 and 15 plays. Did the individual work. Hope to do a little more with him today and see where he's at.
Are you more optimistic for him now than you were at this time last week, or is it still too early in the week to tell?
I think last week this time I was still optimistic, but I think I'm about the same.
James Robinson for the Jacksonville running back came out of nowhere last year. What makes him such a good runner?
Yeah, he runs hard. He runs tough. He's a good inside runner with the ability to bounce it outside and then get on your edges and get on the corners. And he's got a good feel for their running game and what they're trying to accomplish. Been impressed with him as well as Carlos Hyde. Carlos has been a good back in this league for a long time, and he runs hard too.
Going down to the heat and humidity of Jacksonville, what steps do you guys take to kind of prepare for that and make sure guys are hydrated?
It's been emphasized for them to hydrate starting yesterday, starting Tuesday. You know, you got to do it all week, not just the day of the game, day before. So that's one thing. We're going down there a day early. We're going to have a walkthrough, you know, our normal Saturday practice, which is very low tempo. We're going to do it there and get two good nights rest there, we hope, and be ready to play.
Like, who do you expect to fill Pat's role in the dime, or is that committee?
We're working both Stearns and Hairston there.
Vic, looking back at the tape, what did you see maybe out of Javonte's first game, and do you expect him to continue kind of splitting those reps with Melvin?
Yeah, I was impressed with his play. I mean, there wasn't always a lot of room there in some of his runs. He seemed to make something out of a few of them. He's a damn good back, and we're thrilled to have him. And, yeah, we'll continue using them that way.
Miles Jack, what kind of problem is he presenting?
Yeah, he's a really good player. Athletic, but yet strong and physical linebacker. And, you know, you just have to know where he's at all times and make sure who's ever responsible for him in the run game or if he blitzes to get him picked up. He's really good.
You tell us all the time, sacks can be deceiving when evaluating linebacker's defense. But what did you see from Bond's overall game and kind of where he is right now?
Yeah, he had several good rushes that didn't result in a sack. And I think he consistently rushed good the entire game for the most part, and that's good to see.
Like, I guess teams went for fourth down 51 times in week one, which is a most in any weekend or any weekend in NFL history, you know, 37 years in week one. What do you think is contributing to that trend?
You know, I'm not sure. You got to get the right situation in the right field position at the right time. Some of those can be deceiving, you know, fourth quarter way behind. It's the ones that have a major impact on the game in the first three quarters of a close game that you really take a close look at. But, yeah, there's no doubt people are more open to it than maybe in the past. But, again, it's the negative effects of not getting it in a in real time situation, not fourth quarter big score deficit. The can be negative too, can be far outweighed a positive in some cases. You know, luckily for us, the three we did worked out, you know, so I got some equity built up.
How do you go about creating a defensive game plan for a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence when you only have, you know, one game of, you know, regular season film truly operate
off of? Yeah, it's just, you got the preseason games too. He played in the preseason. You know, their coaching staff has a history of what they've done in the NFL. You try and look at some of that and piece it together. But there is no exact way to know you're going to be right. You know, so you just keep running the plays they've been, you know, looking at the plays they've been running. Run plays that, you know, the coaches on the staff have run in the past, you know, particularly against you maybe. So it's a combination of all that.
What's it up for special teams in week one, and any thoughts
about the interior? Yeah, I thought we played well overall. We definitely have improved our speed out on that, on those units, you know, with Michael there and Jonas. And, you know, PJ's been a good special teams player for us. So overall it was better. The biggest negative was the penalty there in the fourth quarter, which gave him an extra 15 yards on the last punt. So, but it was good. You know, we almost had a catastrophic play where we didn't punt in the right direction. You know, so luckily there was, we avoided that one.
Okay. Thanks,
Vic. All right.
All right. That was Vic Fangio from just a moment ago. Anything stick out to you in particular, Stoke?
Yeah, there was a couple things there. You know, Chubb, that's the big news I wanted to hear about. He got 12 to 15 reps yesterday. Vic has that same feeling. You know, it sounded like he was pretty optimistic last week that Chubb was going to play.
I think he said I was more optimistic last week at this time.
And so if you're expecting someone to play and you're optimistic that they're heading in the right direction, next thing you know that it doesn't look like they're going to play, you're going to be frustrated. Like, you could hear that in Vic's voice last week. So, and I think him saying that again, the way he phrased that was kind of like, I mean, he's just like, yeah, I feel the same as I did last week. I thought he was going to play last week, pretty much what he said.
Yep.
I like the fourth down. You knew Vic was going to have to pat himself on the back again.
Mm-hmm.
But go for it, Vic.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. It's okay. You know, if you get it right, pat yourself on the back all you want. Him saying, you know, I got some equity built up on those fourth downs. You lost a lot of equity last year, so you just kind of, you're not even back to, you know, half a tank. You're like Zach at the gas station. You're only putting that $1.50 back in there when you need a full tank. So, you know, right?
I put $15 in this past week. I was like, whoa, this car just got heavy.
What'd you get, 1 gallon, 2 gallons?
Tell you what, gas is no joke, man.
No joke.
No joke right now.
No joke. No.
What's the cost to fill you up?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
When it's low?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about 90.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, almost $100.
Crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely insane. Unbelievable.
$90 for that little crossover, huh?
Yeah. Hey, it guzzles. It guzzles, man.
By the way, I'm coming in today.
Uh-huh.
I'm parking my car. Park, you know, very close to you. Something catches my eye inside your truck. I'm like, what is that? What is that hanging from the mirror? It looks like a pineapple. Wait, no, is it a dog? Oh, it's a face of a dog with it's a face of a dog with a pineapple head sticking out. I said, that doesn't look like a generic, like, cartoon dog. That looks like an actual dog, like a one of one. Not like one of your digital friends.
Right,
that looks like a one of one dog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? That is a custom-made air freshener with the face of your dog.
My
with
dog.
Pineapple hair.
That's right. Well, so I have two of them on there. So one of them is like a pineapple behind the dog. So that's what you saw.
Oh,
so that's why you're kind of confused.
The dog's
Yeah, so for Father's Day, that was one of my gifts.
That is hilarious.
The dog air freshener, and I absolutely love it. I got a good doggy. Hilarious. Love my dog.
Dude, love your dog.
If you had to choose between your two favorite dogs, who would you choose? Your digital dog or your actual little dog at home?
Oof. That's a tough one. My little dog at home, like, is obsessed with my wife. Like, when he can't find my wife, like, he just starts, like, pacing all over the house. Like, all over.
It's like anxiety.
The funniest thing. Yes. It's the funniest thing ever. Like, all over the house. And you hear his feet. And he goes. And he's just, like, looking around. He looks up at you. Then he goes. And he's just, like. So he's obsessed with my wife. But I still take him.
You'll still take him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I got there, but the back is a pineapple thing, so it looked like the dog had
I thought it was like a creative little
Right.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm rocking right now. But that was a good gift. That was a thoughtful gift, gift. I do enjoy the fresh. You look up there, you see your dog, it puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right. I remember when you got that dog. I don't think you knew what to think.
Right.
And then, like, it was like 2 months into it, you're like, this is one of my children.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a dog growing up, you know, like in middle school, high school, one dog, and didn't have a dog forever after that. You know, I had kids. Like, you know, yep. I don't need a dog. I got kids.
Right.
They give me a headache enough, you know, so it's like, you know, I can't have a dog on top of that.
Right.
And... But finally, once they got to a certain age, the wife wanted a dog, wife wanted them. I'm like, all right, but you got to make sure you tell them, like, that's your responsibility. Like, I'm just telling you, that's your responsibility. Like you know, don't be telling me to, you know, I got to come home to watch the dog. No, because I'm going to play golf, right? You know, all that other stuff, that's going to be on you. So I kept on saying it, and I enforced it. And so, and then finally got the dog and loved the dog.
Love the dog. Great story. Love it. Love it.
All right. Any animals in your future? Like real ones.
My wife is like, no. She's like, we got, again, like the kids. Like, could you imagine taking care of a dog? We're gonna leave with the kids. The dog's going to stay home. You know, we don't have a lot of family. It's like, how are we going to manage this? And so not anytime soon. Not anytime soon.
Cat?
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe I'll buy a digital.
There you go. That could fill the void.
Yeah.
All right? You got a big backyard. Get you some chickens and
A little chicken coop. So Chubb, I mean, Chubb is still a big question mark. I don't think we have, you know, maybe a little bit later today we'll check in with Mike Kliss and see if, you know, Chubb is a little bit more active today than yesterday. We'll follow back up on that.
Perfect.
Chubb's still limited. What are we talking about here? 72 hours before another NFL game.
On the road.
I got big question marks. I
we got a bet on it.
Oh, yes. I said he will not play.
Right, and I said he would.
Yeah, for a coffee, right.
Yeah, coffee bet. I don't know, man. I think it's a coin flip type of thing.
You feel better or worse than you did yesterday when you made the bet?
The same.
Okay.
The same. It's a coin flip. I mean, if they want to be very cautious with them, they hold him out. Today's a big day. You know, this is the last full padded practice. Well, I don't even know if they're going to have a full pad, but this is like that last game plan day. You do third down stuff, all that stuff. See how he makes it out for tomorrow. And if he's, you know, able, you know, if he's fine tomorrow and doesn't have any kind of setback, then he probably plays. If he's sore tomorrow, then he doesn't. So I think we'll have a good idea tomorrow where he's at. But certainly, what are they going to do? They're going to err on the side of caution.
Right.
You're playing Jacksonville. You don't want to look at the team that you're playing, but you do. You know, you need to realize who you're playing. And it's early in the football season, so you just don't push it right now.
You take it into consideration, but not let it make the decision for you?
Right.
Your opponent?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. When it came to, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me is, you know, Vic is not naturally complimentary of guys. He's just not naturally like that. Doesn't praise guys. You know, certain guys are different ways, different human beings that share the same coaching title. Vic's just a little bit different that way. James has said through the years, our buddy Marilat says, you know, Vic throws around compliments like they're manhole covers, right? Like you hear him say that.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, no?
No.
Okay. Pretty good.
Unless you're Brandon Allen.
Unless you're Brandon Allen. Then you're the it factor.
Right.
But when he naturally spoke about Javonte Williams, when he was asked about his performance on Sunday and would he continue to get reps, he said, Javonte is a damn good back, and we are thrilled to have him. And it wasn't like any sort of like calculated, like try to pump him up. He's a rookie with one game. He's like, no, he's a damn good back. We are thrilled to have him. And I am expecting to see, you know, my forecast for this season in the backfield was Melvin Gordon first and second. Maybe Javonte will get a carry to every two carries that Melvin's getting.
Yeah.
I am taking a big step back from that.
Yeah. Man. I'm with you. This thing is going to be, you know.
Melvin is like fending him off, it feels like, at this point.
I don't know about that. That's not the way that I see it.
No?
I think this is going to be their structure, their routine, and their like philosophy for most games, where I think for the majority of it, you'll see more Melvin Gordon getting 15 carries, Javonte getting, you know, 11, 12, like right around there. But I was surprised with how many third downs Javonte Williams was on the field. And, you know, on Monday we talked about it, and that just talks about the coach's trust in the guy. First game of the year.
Right.
Third down, that's where they bring all the exotic blitzes, like, my goodness. You know, they're bringing these two linebackers plus the safety. You know, who do you have, Javonte Williams? You know, that's a hard thing to do in the NFL. Is pass protection.
Sure.
And figuring out Mike, Sam, Will, free safety, you know, who's blitzing, who do you pick up, when are you hot, when are you staying in? All those things makes it very difficult for young running backs to get on the field on third down. And this guy's on the field right away on third down. And that tells you right there they trust him a lot. And we know he can run the football, but to be in that situation in the first game of the year. Wow. I mean, that was really impressive.
It's significant.
And we talked, you know, Monday again, like, that just tells you how smart the kid is.
Yep.
How smart he is.
Valedictorian.
Yeah. Very, very smart, because that's not an easy thing to do. And we'll see what it looks like. I kind of expected that Melvin Gordon was going to be more of the third down back.
Right. Right.
Veteran.
Yep.
You know, he knows protections, been in the system for over a year now, catches the ball really well, but it's pretty much Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams, 14 carries out of the gate. If he got that amount of carries every game for this season, do you know how many carries he would end up with?
I don't even want to do 140 plus times 7 times 14, 70, 128. 140 plus, I would say like 98 would be my, just off the top of my head. So 238.
238.
Look at you!
Woo!
Dude!
I'm a math genius!
Are you kidding?
I am a math genius!
Are you kidding?
I'm a math genius.
You know, addition is a problem searching for an answer.
Yes!
Algebra is the answer searching for the problem.
That felt good!
238 on the nose. Now, let's just do it for, I'm going to do it times 16 games, okay? Because I have a comparison from the past. If this were a 16-game season, that would shake out to be...
My 224.
224.
Just got a minus 14.
That's
all
it.
Right, man.
That's it. That but you're live on air.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Some people can't do it.
And
when the spotlight comes on.
That would come out to be, in a traditional 16-game season, that would be 224 carries. For comparison purposes, Philip Lindsay's first season when he went for 1,037 yards as a rookie, he had 192.
Wow.
This would be on pace for 224. Like, that's what type of pace out of the gate that Javonte Williams, you know, the type of, and by the way, Philip Lindsay's second season when he was 1,000 yard back, he had exactly 224 carries.
Wow.
Exactly. So, like, we know what that workload looks like. That's what type of workload they gave to Javonte Williams out of the gate.
It's going to be interesting to see what it looks like the rest of the season, but it sounds like they're probably just going to continue to do this, and hopefully both guys stay healthy.
Right.
Same thing we talked about with the cornerbacks. You know, health is a big part of it. Hopefully they both stay healthy, and we see a 1-2 punch. Got to give a shout-out to my guy on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Yeah.
Joe from Loveland. Appreciate you, Joe. Big fan of mine. Big fan of mine. Stokely is an idiot. Yeah, he wanted me fired for, like, I don't know, months every day. Stokely needs to be fired. And he said he wasn't going to do that, and he's kept his word.
He has not said fire Stokely. Now, yep. He has repeatedly said fire the people who gave Stokely a new contract.
Yes,
because he's an idiot.
Right.
But that doesn't count technically.
Yes. That's right. That's right. And now today, you know, to kick off the show, Stokely's an idiot. So, appreciate you, Joe.
Oh, my God. You can remain here. You can keep coming in here.
Wow.
All right. We are expecting to hear from Von Miller here this afternoon.
Oh, good.
But I have to ask you about a video that is circulating through social media and about one of the Bronco hopefuls for this weekend and this season. It's Courtland Sutton, and we'll dive into that conversation coming up next.
Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
All right, there's a video circulating on social media, Twitter in particular. You can follow us on twitter.com at bstokely14. I am at Byesline, BYESLINE. Twitter circulating, or a video circulating from yesterday's Broncos practice of Courtland Sutton. And it looks like, do we have Von here? You know what? We'll take a pause on that conversation.
Von better be good.
We will get to it. We'll go live to the Vodium and hear from.
The Vodium?
Oh, okay, hold on.
The Vodium?
Did I say Vodium? The Podium.
No, you did.
Well, I had Richie in my ear, so I'm trying to talk at the same time as I'm actually trying to listen to someone. It's you don't have to worry about that over there with your little.
I know. Usually I make those kind of, you know. So I got to call you out.
It's all good. Here's Von Miller.
I love Coach Meyer. I went to Texas A&M, but Florida was my number two school, and I remember, you know, going to Florida and meeting with Coach Meyer and Coach Madison, and you know, they made me feel at home. You know, I know a lot of guys that have played for, you know, Coach Meyer, and they love him, you know, and I just didn't have the opportunity because I went to A&M, but A&M was. Florida was a close second for me, and, you know, I wish him all the success. I'm a huge fan of Tim Tebow, as everybody knows, and, you know, Tim loves, you know, Coach Meyer, and, yeah, I wish him nothing but the best in the National Football League. If he can be the type of coach that he was in college, if he can do that in the National Football League, a lot of good things are coming to Jacksonville.
You've been one of Pat's biggest fans, it seems like, throughout preseason training camp.
Yep.
What kind of advice do you give him as he goes into his first career?
He got it, man. You know, he really does got it. He carries himself, and he carries himself in a way that, you know, it's not too many things that you could give him advice about. You know, I just sit and watch him. He pretty much does, you know, everything right. He does everything how he's supposed to do. You know, he comes to work early. You know, he's fast. He's athletic. He can guard the number two receiver. You know, he could blitz. He can do, you know, whatever, you know, you want him to do. And, you know, Pat's the type of guy, you know, that you know, he's going to get everything and more in the National Football League. He's 6'3". You know, he runs a 4.3. You know, he can cover the slot receiver. He can cover your big possession receivers. He just has the total package. And, you know, when I look at him, it's not too much. Whenever it's something that I can, you know, give him advice on, which would, you know, probably be the way he dressed, you know, that's probably the only thing that, you know, you could give him advice on right now. But, you know, he has everything else pretty much. He has his thumb on everything else. He's going to be a great player in the league.
What should he do differently in how he dresses?
I mean, you know, just rookies, you know, you just see him, you know, and it just takes a while for them to get the fashion, you know, thing down, you know. But, you know, when you're coming from college, you wear, you know, you're used to wearing certain stuff, and then when you get in the league, it's like now you're professional. You gotta, you know, wear. You gotta go about it a different way. But hey, if you're performing the way Pat performs, you can pretty much wear and dress however you want to dress. So, Pat, he's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. He's going to start this week for us. You know, his first start in the National Football League. We're going against a great Jacksonville team. You know, the score last week is not a clear indicator of what happened in that game. They made a lot of great plays. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of great receivers. Marvin Jones Jr. He's one of my friends. You know, I spent time with him. I think we were in Tulum. You know, and that's when you really can just connect with guys. And I got to, you know, meet his family, and just I got to see what really makes, you know, him him. So, you know, I'm a fan of him as well. And, you know, I wish all those guys success, man. It's gonna be a tough task down in Jacksonville. This is their first home game. You know, Jacksonville's thirsty for, you know, a winning season just like we are. They got a lot of talent over there, especially on defense, especially on offense, man. And it's gonna be a hard fought game for sure.
Vaughn, Justin Simmons said yesterday that it gets easier to understand, to kind of be familiar every year with the base of Vic Fangio's defense, but that he never feels stagnant because he's always challenging you guys. I know you and Justin play different positions, but did you enjoy that as a player? That, you know, even with the familiarity that you have, that you continue to be challenged by.
I mean, if you ask me, I just want to rush. I just want to rush. I just want to rush the passer every single play. Just line me up left and right and just let me rush. So, I mean, you know, I would probably be different than Justin. Like, I don't want to be, you know, challenged with, you know, covering receivers and tight ends. I can do all of that stuff and, you know, peeling and, you know, so, I mean, I just want to rush the quarterback. I want to rush every single down, you know, even when it's for the game. You know, I don't want to be worried about receivers. I just want to rush and go sack the quarterback. But to Justin's point, Coach Fangio, he always feels like there's more that can be done. You know, and he passes the hard down around to all of his guys. You know, just because you rush, you can still do things to help out, you know, the linebackers, to help out the secondary. So, you know, to Justin's point, you know, it's things that he asks us to do to help other guys out on the team and not just our job. And, you know, with that being said, that's how we're going to win games. That's how we're going to win games, with me going above and beyond what, you know, I'm supposed to do to help the team win. And that's what football is all about.
Well, Draymond said that you stole a sack from him.
Yeah, yeah.
Number and tell him, you know, he's got 8 or 9 years of dealing with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's just one of those things, you know, like, you don't want to strain the friendship, you know. You don't want to strain the friendship with Sax, you know. And, you know, Draymond, I need him, so I want him to get Sax. You know, I want him to get Sax. I want him to be happy in there. You know, I want to get Sax. You know, I want to be happy as well. But when you got two guys that rush the way we rush, we're going to be close to the quarterback at the same time, you know, and it just happens. I told Draymond a story. With Derek Wolfe, I think his first season here, he had like 7 sacks, and I probably took another 7, you know, away from him. Like, I was there, he was there, and I was just happening to get on the quarterback before him, and Derek could jump on my back. So it's just one of those things. When you got a lot of speed and you got a lot of rushes up front, you know, you're going to be around the quarterback at the same time. And, you know, both of those sacks that I had, you know, Draymond was right there. And you can tell, like, right after the play, you know, everybody's supposed to be celebrating, and you see Draymond just looking at me like, dang, walk off. And I totally understand that. You know, I got games and I got stuff that's called to help get Draymond free as well. Because you got to – it's just like basketball. You got to – the big man, he has to eat, you know. Kobe and Shaq, you know, Shaq has to get his – Shaq is not going to be happy if he's not scoring points. Kobe's not going to be happy unless he's scoring points as well. So we're already developing a relationship where we both can eat, and I feel confident, and I believe that we both can be able to get sacks, and we both can do things to make this team win and get sacks and do all the wonderful things that we do.
You changed your offseason approach and how you kind of where you got to where you're going to be right in the season. How did the body feel after that first game, heavy workload, and does it give you confidence moving forward that this was kind of the right strategy?
Yeah, I felt good, and I definitely think it was the right strategy. I always feel like, just the type of person that I am, I always feel like I could do more. I could train harder. Instead of 2 a day, I feel like I could do a 3 a day, or, you know, all the time. When I'm just sitting at the house doing nothing, like, I feel weird. Like, I feel like it's something that I could be doing. It's somewhere I could be going to train. It's something I could be doing to work on my body. And, you know, that might not always be right. You know, sometimes you got to rest. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, recover, and sometimes you got to do things to get you ready for the next workout. So, you know, I entrusted a lot of people to help keep me, you know, healthy this season. And, you know, I just kind of took Von Miller, the physical therapist, and Von Miller, the athletic trainer, off of my name. And I just listened to these guys that I put around. I listened to Vince. You know, I've always listened to Vince and Greek, but, you know, I'm listening to those guys. And, you know, me being, you know, 32 going on 33, these guys have seen it all, and you know, whatever advice they give me to help keep me, you know, healthy, I'm gonna do. Lauren Lando, he's played a, you know, a huge role in keeping me healthy as well. And you know, I just listen to those guys, man. They've trained and they've seen it all. And you know, I think I'm at the point in the career where I need to do more listening and less, you know, training. You know, when it's time to train, I train as hard as I possibly can. But when it's time not to train, you know, I just listen to those guys. And you know, I trust those guys. I've been with Vince, you know, for I think it's 10 or 11 years now, and I've been knowing Lando for 10 years as well. So I believe in the type of things that they do to keep everybody right, and I'm doing a lot more listening this year for sure.
Vaughn, there was a video of you telling Teddy you haven't felt like you felt since Peyton was here. I was curious if you could expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of forgot that I was mic'd up. I don't like putting stuff out there. That was probably a moment for me and Teddy. But, you know, it's out there, and, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, feel a certain way because I told Teddy that. But I told Teddy the truth. You know, I told Teddy the truth. He definitely has this vibe about him that guys, you know, want to play for. You know, guys believe in Teddy. You know, he's been a veteran in this league. He sat behind Drew Brees. You know, he was on track to win MVP with the Minnesota Vikings. So he knows how to do it. And he carries himself in a way that, you know, people want to play for him. People believe in him. You know, I think it was a fourth down in the game where he kind of like stuttered and stiff on the guy and threw it to Albert O. And, you know, that's just heart. And that's just nobody can draw that up. There's no coach on our coaching staff or in the NFL that could teach you how to do that. Teddy had it. Teddy had the fight to go out there and win for the football team. And, you know, some of the things that he says, some of the things that he tells everybody before, you know, games and stuff, I just believe it. And I'm a hard guy to believe everything that everybody say. But, you know, you can definitely feel it with Teddy. And, you know, I told Teddy that was, you know, towards the end of the game, and I had saw him, and, you know, I just told him I'm a firm believer in giving people their flowers, you know, while they're still here. And, you know, Teddy, he definitely deserves the love, for sure.
Last one, Arnie. Going back to the Draymond Jones in a sec, when was the last time that you can recall one of your teammates beating you to the quarterback?
I mean, it's a lot of times where guys beat me, and I feel the same way Dre felt. Like, damn, I should have got that. Should have been me. But yeah, it's been a couple of times that, you know, guys beat me. We got a lot of great rushes here, so you know, it just happens. You know, and I just dust it off, and I just, you know, come back, and it really sucks when you get a really, really good rush. Like, you get an amazing rush, and you just feeling it in your mind and your heart, like, I'm about to get the quarterback, and then you just see somebody just run right in front of you and get the sack. You know, now I can think about it. I think Chubb has done me like that. Me and Chubb actually split a sack, my first sack on Patrick Mahomes, which was big for me because, you know, everybody wants to sack Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I beat my guy, and I grabbed Patrick, and then I ran into Patrick, into Chubb. And we both fell down at the same time, and they called it a half sack. So I couldn't, like, put our relationship on the line and our friendship on the line by turning it in. And I said, this is my whole sack. So I just had to, like, you know, charge it to the game. You know, I felt like, you know, Chubb was going to help me get more sacks, and I didn't want to really put that strain on our friendship like that by, like, being selfish. And even though the sack was really supposed to be a whole sack by me, you know, it's football. You just gotta chalk it up, and you just gotta keep going, for sure.
Can you play? Did you go and ask about statistical stuff like that?
Yeah, you can challenge pretty much, you know, anything. It doesn't get overturned often. The last sack that I had overturned was in 2000. We played the Steelers. And it was the same game where Shelby had the interception, and I had beat my guy, and I grabbed I was on Big Ben, and Shelby came and jumped on his sack, and they called it a half. So with me and Shelby, is not like me and Chubb. I had to turn that one in to get my full sack. And yeah, Shelby had to pick that game. He saved it. So I just let Shelby have that, and I had to turn that one in, and I had that one overturned to a full sack. So I mean, we got. They got relationships. They got relationships in the NFL, and you know, it's really Coach Kolar that really, you know, he really turns everything in at the end of the week. And every team has a guy that does it. So Yeah, but I love Shelby, but I just had to get my sack around.
All right. That was Von Miller at the podium. A lot to react to.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we just heard from Von Miller. Man, like, my biggest takeaway from Von, holy crap, that guy cares about sacks.
Well, you knew that. You're the one that's, you know, has kind of said that all along. I mean, what does he have? He got a tattoo.
It says Sackmaster.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing that he really cares about is getting sacks.
I mean, really cares about.
But that's 99.9% of defensive guys.
Sure.
Defensive linemen. That's all they care about. That's how they get paid. That's how they're recognized. That's how they're known. Right? So it's like receivers catches. You want catches. Right? So, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of reaction here.
I was going to say, the last four text messages from totally separate numbers. So these are, and I'm just going to read what I'm seeing. These are the most recent four RamosLaw.com text messages. Von just doesn't sound like a leader when he talks. Separate text. Man, that dude cares about his stats. Hashtag team second. Next one. Von should not do interviews. He kind of comes across like a bleep. Fourth one, Von's a selfish dope. He just talks about the stats a lot, and to the point where he said that, I don't want to drop in coverage. I don't want to guard tight ends. I don't want to cover receivers. I want to rush the quarterback on every single play. Later in the interview, he said he challenged the league on a Shelby Harris sack so he could have the sack.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that. You know, they're like, hey, wait, that should have been me. I mean, I was around Freeney and Mathis. Baltimore, same thing. Those guys were always like, hey, I should have had a half a sack there. You know, I mean, that's the way they are. It's like, that's how these guys are wired.
Would they challenge it? Would they challenge it with the league?
I don't know. You know,
I've ever heard that.
I don't know how that works, you know. I'm sure, but they would bring it up to the PR guy.
Okay.
About looking into it.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with it. I don't. And I get it. It comes across, and I get it. Like I'm with all the listeners there that are saying like that's selfish. He's worried just about sacks. It's what he does, man. It's like receiver. Do you want your receiver to want catches?
Right.
I mean, do you want him to want catches? Like sometimes they can come across as being selfish, but that's how he feels like he can impact the game the most. He doesn't feel like he can impact the game most, dropping in coverage. And
I get that too.
That answer was talking about Justin Simmons, just talking about the different things that Vic does. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. It's like asking me, do I want to block? No, I don't want to block.
Right.
I got time for that.
Yeah, does that mean I'm selfish because I don't want to block?
I think we're all selfish a little bit.
I mean, and it's good to a certain degree. You know, I want Von to want sacks. That's the way those guys are wired. That's how, like I said, that's how they're known. That's how they get recognized. And that means they're producing. When he does that, when he gets sacks, he is doing his job. That's right. Why they're paying him $19 million
right.
To get sacks.
That's right.
So
not to drop into coverage.
Yeah, I'm on Von's side here.
I'm not trying to make one side or the other.
No.
But I was listening. I'm like, wow. Like he must have said sack 68 times.
Right.
And then I see the reaction. The unprompted. I just said, look, we'll react to Von next.
Right.
The texts were rolling in. Like, dude. Like, you know. Take it easy a little bit, but I get it. I remember when the Broncos were undefeated, and Emmanuel and DT, this was 2016 when the Broncos started 4-0, and Emmanuel was like, can we get the football? You know, a lot of Broncos fans were like, hey, you're 4-0, like you're part of the team, and it's like, yeah, but I still want the football.
Right. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And so, no, I'm not saying that you were on the other side, but I'm just talking about the people that are chiming in on the RamosLaw.com text line that's saying he's selfish. And I would say it's overreaction a little bit there. And it's not the worst thing in the world to be, you know, selfish on the football field to a certain degree.
Sure.
Because that's going to lead to – Von getting sacks will lead to wins. You know, that's you know, what we all hope is him making plays like that. It's, and guys always fight over, did you get the sack? Did I get the sack? I mean, I've told you, you watch guys crawling to touch a quarterback that falls on the ground. Just crawling to be that first one to touch him, right? Because that's a cheap sack, man.
Right.
And at the end of the year, nobody remembers those cheap sacks.
Right.
He had 12 sacks in 2017. You don't know four or five of them were just cheap, easy.
Right.
So I'm, I have no issue with it at all. I think Vaughn is a good leader, and you saw that with Teddy when he was talking to Teddy. I think he's got the right perspective, and good for him. Go get sacks, man. I mean, look, if you ask me about blocking in the running game, I'd be like, you know, it's part of the job, but that's not really what I want to do. Receivers don't want to block in the run game. I mean, that's not the most fun thing to do. It's part of it. Like Vaughn playing the run, got to play the run. He did a good job of it.
He did.
They had a highlight on it on TV again, and Slareth brought it up on the telecast, and we saw it. We talked about it, but watching it again from a little bit of a different angle, the toss play, he took on Kyle Rudolph, threw Rudolph a little bit out of the way, and then took on the pulling guard or tackle. So he took up two guys and then was kind of in on the tackle, which I'm like, that's how you play the run right there. You know, that guard or tackle was pulling around to get to a linebacker, and Vaughn, you know, tossed Rudolph pretty much out the club and then took on the guy that was supposed to be blocking a linebacker. I mean, he played a well-rounded game.
He did.
And look, when Vaughn is playing patty cake, trust me, I'll let you know.
There we go.
We've done that before, right?
We have.
We will.
We have.
And so if he's not getting after the quarterback, if he's not giving that maximum effort on run and pass plays –
and that's what we saw on Sunday that we didn't quite see in 2019.
That's right.
It didn't matter the play or the design. It was a max effort to get involved with the football, one way or the other. So being around the ball, I like it. All right. We will circle back because I have a question about Vaughn based on what we saw this past week. We will circle back to it, but I got to get your thoughts on the Courtland Sutton video that is circling around social media. Take a dive into that coming up next. Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.